Murderers who have committed horrific acts and are convicted of their actions often leave us with chilling final words before their execution. When sentenced to death and about to be executed, their final words can be terrifying, ruthless, and astonishing. Let's explore the last words of some of the most notorious criminals humanity has ever seen and see what conclusions they came to before death took them. Robert Moreno Ramos. In February 1992, Robert Moreno Ramos committed the brutal murders of his wife, Leticia, and their two children, Abigail, 7, and Jonathan, 3, in Texas. Ramos, who was having an extramarital affair with Marissa Robledo, bludgeoned his family to death and buried their bodies under the bathroom floor of their home. This horrific act was the result of his desire to start a new life with Robledo, whom he married shortly after the murders. The crime came to light after neighbors and church members became suspicious of the family's sudden disappearance. Ramos provided conflicting stories about his family's whereabouts, including the false claim that they had died in a car accident. His sister-in-law eventually reported the family missing, prompting a police investigation. Extensive evidence of blood was found in the home and their bodies were exhumed from beneath the newly tiled bathroom floor. Forensic evidence contradicted Ramos' defense, which claimed his wife had inflicted her injuries, and showed that all of the victims had died from blunt force trauma. Ramos was convicted of murder in 1993 and sentenced to death. After numerous appeals, he was executed on November 14, 2018, by lethal injection. His last words were, "I receive my gold watch that took the governor 30 years to forge. Thank you, God. Lord, send me a chariot. I am ready." Aileen Wuornos. Aileen Wuornos was a notorious serial killer who murdered 7 men in Florida between 1989 and 1990. Born in 1956 in Michigan, she had a troubled childhood marked by abuse and neglect. As a teenager, Wuornos engaged in sex work and lived a transient lifestyle. In late 1989, she began killing men who picked her up on Florida highways. Wuornos claimed self-defense, alleging that the men had assaulted or attempted to assault her. Her first victim, Richard Mallory, was a convicted rapist, which she cited as justification for her actions. However, her subsequent victims, who included David Spears, Charles Carskaden, Troy Burrist, Charles Humphreys, Peter Abraham Simpson, and Walter Antonio, had no such prior record, casting doubt on her claims of self-defense. Her arrest came in January 1991 after police tracked her down through Items Pond under various aliases. Wuornos's partner, Tyria Moore, cooperated with authorities, gathering evidence against her. Wuornos confessed to the murders and was sentenced to death in 1992. Despite numerous appeals and a complex legal battle over her mental competency, Wuornos remained on death row for a decade. On October 9, 2002, Wuornos was executed by lethal injection in Florida. Her last words were strange and cryptic. "I would just like to say that I sail with the rock and I will return. Like Independence Day with Jesus, on June 6th, like in the movie, The Big Mothership and all that, I will return." Wuornos' life and crimes have been widely covered in the media, including the film Monster, starring Charlie Theron, Thomas J. Greasy. Thomas J. Grasso was an American convicted murderer executed for his brutal crimes. Born in 1962 in West Babylon, New York, Grasso had a troubled past, including a criminal record, primarily for burglary. His violent crime spree began on December 24, 1990, when he strangled 87-year-old Hilda Johnson in Tulsa, Oklahoma with her Christmas lights. He stole a meager $1 and her television, which he sold for $15. 6 months later, in July 1991, Grasso murdered 81-year-old Leslie Holes in Staten Island, New York, in order to steal her Social Security check. Arrested shortly after, Grasso confessed to both murders. He was sentenced to 20 years to life in prison for the murder of Holsch in New York and received the death penalty for the murder of Johnson in Oklahoma. Before his execution on March 20, 1995, he ordered a lavish last meal that included steamed mussels and clams, a Burger King double cheeseburger, barbecue ribs, 2 strawberry milkshakes, half a pumpkin pie, chopped strawberries, and a can of spaghetti. However, in prison, he was served spaghetti. Disappointed, Grasso used his last moments to make a statement to the press. "They didn't serve me spaghetti, they served me spaghetti. I want the press to know that." Grasso was executed by lethal injection and pronounced dead at 122 a.m. His final statement remains one of the most memorable and surreal in the history of capital punishment. Twine McNabb Tower. Torwin McNabb was executed in Alabama for the 1997 murder of Montgomery police officer Anderson Gordon. Knabb, then 20, was fleeing from a bail bondsman when he caused a traffic accident. When Officer Gordon arrived at the scene, McNabb approached his patrol car and shot him 5 times, killing him instantly. Gordon, a 30-year-old father of two, was remembered as a dedicated officer and family man. Following the killing, McNabb attempted to escape by shooting pursuing officers before being wounded and captured. He later claimed he had panic while under the influence of cocaine. At a 1999 trial, McNabb expressed remorse and apologized to Gordon's family, but he was convicted and sentenced to death. McNabb's execution on October 19, 2017, was controversial due to his involvement in a lawsuit challenging Alabama's lethal injection protocol. Despite efforts by his legal team to halt the execution, the U.S. Supreme Court allowed it to proceed. Throughout the 35-minute execution, McNabb's movements suggested he was still conscious, raising questions about the humanity of the method. Before his execution, McNabb was defiant and furious. Speaking to his family through a plate glass window, he said, "Mama, sister, look me in the eyes. I have no tears, I have no fear." Addressing the state, he added, "To the state of Alabama, I hate you. I hate you." As the execution began, she raised her middle fingers to witnesses. Knabb was pronounced dead at 9:38 p.m. Barbara Graham, known as Bloody Babs, was executed in 1955 for her role in the murder of Mabel Monahan, a 64-year-old widow. Born in 1923, Graham had a troubled upbringing and descended into a life of crime that included prostitution and perjury. In 1953, she married Henry Graham, a drug addict, and through him she met criminals Jack Santo and Emmett Perkins. Perkins informed Graham about Monahan, who was rumored to have a large stash of money and jewelry in his Burbank home. On March 9, 1953, Graham, Perkins, Santo, and others planned a robbery. Graham gained entry to Monahan's home by asking to use the telephone. Once inside, the group severely beat Monahan as they searched for valuables, but found nothing. The scene of the crime was discovered 2 days later, and Monahan's daughter offered a reward for information. After several suspects were initially released, an accomplice named Baxter Shorter turned state's evidence but was later kidnapped and murdered by Perkins and Santo. Another accomplice, John True, also testified against the group in exchange for immunity. Graham's defense fell apart when she attempted to fabricate an alibi that was recorded by an undercover agent. She was convicted and was nicknamed Bloody Babs by the media due to the brutality of the crime. On June 3, 1955, Graham was executed in the gas chamber at San Quentin. Her last words were, "Good people are always so sure they're right." When advised to take a deep breath to ease her death, she retorted, "How the hell do you know?" Robert Charles Torrey was executed by lethal injection in Arizona in March 2012 for the 1991 murder of Mark Jones. Jones, a 68-year-old philanthropist, had lent Torrey money and employed him as a mechanic. However, Torrey, along with his accomplice Randy Barker, decided to rob Jones. On the day of the crime, Torrey and Barker went to Jones' home. Torrey pulled out a gun while Barker handcuffed Jones. They stole valuables and in a gruesome act, Torrey injected Jones with battery acid before strangling him with zip ties. Jones' body was discovered the following day and the duo were arrested after being seen dumping the vehicle used in the crime. Barker testified against Torrey and obtained a plea deal that allowed him to walk free in 2001. Torrey faced execution filled with apparent remorse. In his final moments, he apologized to both Jones and his own family. Reflecting on his life, he said, "So many times in my life, I went left when I should have gone right, and I went right when I should have gone left. It was one mistake after another. Quote, his last words were unusual. I love my family. Potato, potato, potato. Quote, this cryptic message puzzled witnesses but was later understood to be a private signal to his nephew who was present at the execution. The phrase imitated the sound of a Harley-Davidson motorcycle idling, conveying to his nephew that all was well. James French. James French was a double murderer and the last person executed in Oklahoma before the 1972 Furman v. Georgia decision put an end to capital punishment in the United States. French was serving a life sentence for killing Frank Boone, a motorcyclist who had picked him up while hitchhiking in 1958. French had initially sought the death penalty for the crime, but the jury sentenced him to life in prison. During his time in prison, French grew tired of his life sentence. Sharing Zelda with Edalee Shelton, French decided to murder Shelton in order to force the state to execute him. On October 27, 1961, after treating Shelton to a steak sandwich and allowing him to eat breakfast, French strangled him with a towel upon his return. French immediately confessed to the murder, stating that his motive was to be executed. He insisted on the death penalty and asked the judge to deny all future appeals. Despite the efforts of his lawyers to save him, French remained steadfast. He underwent three trials, each of which ended in a death sentence. While on death row, psychiatric tests showed that French had above-average intelligence and a history of suicidal tendencies. French was executed on August 10, 1966. He faced death with defiant composure. Although a popular story claims that his last words were, "How do you like this headline? French fries," quote, contemporary accounts reveal that his last words were, "It's all said and done." Johnny Frank Garrett. Born on December 24, 1963, Johnny Frank Garrett was executed by the state of Texas for the rape and murder of 76-year-old sister Thaddeus Benz. The crime occurred on October 31, 1981, when Garrett was 17. Garrett was accused of breaking into the San Francisco convent and raping, strangling, and killing sister Benz, who lived across the street from him. He was arrested on November 9, 1981, and was later convicted of the crime. Garrett's trial and conviction were controversial. He was placed on death row in the unit and faced execution despite evidence suggesting severe mental illness resulting from a horrific childhood marked by extreme abuse. His mental health expert described his story as one of the most severe cases of abuse and neglect she had ever encountered. Despite a plea for clemency from Pope John Paul II, which resulted in a temporary reprieve from Governor Ann Richards, the Texas Board of Pardons and Paroles voted 17-1 to uphold his death sentence. On February 11, 1992, Garrett was executed by lethal injection at the Hansville unit. His last meal was ice cream. Although the Texas Department of Criminal Justice claims he declined to make a final statement, reports from the time of his execution quote him as saying, "I would like to thank my family for loving me and taking care of me, and the rest of the world can kiss my ass." Garrett's case remains controversial, with arguments in favor of his innocence and claims that he was the victim of overzealous prosecution and inadequate defense. This controversy was highlighted in the documentary The Last World and the horror film adaptation Johnny Frank Garrett's Last World. George Engel. George Engel was a German immigrant and labor activist who played a significant role in the labor movement in the United States. Engel moved to the United States in 1873, settling in Chicago, where he eventually opened a toy store. His involvement in labor activism deepened after he joined the International Workingmen's Association. In 1886, a labor demonstration in Chicago's High Market Square turned violent when a bomb was thrown at police officers, killing 7 officers. Although Engel was not present at the demonstration, he was at home playing cards. He was charged with conspiracy to commit murder because of his involvement in the labor movement. Prosecutors argued that a meeting Engel attended on May 3, 1886, included plans to retaliate against police violence towards striking workers. Despite the lack of evidence directly linking him to the attack, Engel was convicted and sentenced to death. He maintained his innocence and wrote to the governor pleading for freedom or death, firmly rejecting any possibility of clemency. On November 11, 1887, George Engel was executed on the Orca along with three other convicts. His last words were a fervent declaration, "Long live anarchy. This is the happiest moment of my life." He was buried in Forest Home Cemetery, where the Haymarket Martyrs Monument stands in his honor. Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer, known as the Milwaukee Cannibal, was an American serial killer who murdered 17 men and boys between 1978 and 1991. Dahmer's gruesome crimes included not only murder but also necrophilia and cannibalism. He often lured his victims, mostly young men, with promises of money or sex, drugged them, and then strangled them. Dahmer performed sexual acts on their corpses, dismembering them, and keeping body parts as macabre mementos. His brutal methods and collection of Polaroid photos showing his victims in various stages of dismemberment helped add to his gruesome legacy. Dahmer's criminal activities went unnoticed for years, in part due to his seemingly ordinary demeanor. He was finally arrested on July 22, 1991, after one of his victims, Tracy Edwards, managed to escape and alert the police. A subsequent search of Dahmer's apartment revealed a scene of unimaginable horror with body parts stored in the refrigerator and freezer along with a series of grisly photographs. Convicted of 15 of the 17 murders to which he confessed, Dahmer was sentenced to 15 consecutive life sentences. He initially pleaded insanity but was found to be sane and fully aware of his actions. Dahmer adjusted to life in prison and even found religion, but his end came on November 28, 1994, when he was murdered by fellow inmate Christopher Scarber. Dahmer's last words to his killer, "I don't care if I live or die, go ahead and kill me," reflected profound resignation and perhaps a final acknowledgement of his monstrous actions. John Avalos Alba. John Avalos' story is one of tragic violence that ended with his execution for the murder of his wife Wendy Alba in Collin County, Texas, in 1991. After being accused of sexually abusing a young girl, Alba was arrested and warned his wife Wendy that he would kill her if she did not post bail. When she refused, he made good on his threat. On the night of August 5, 1991, armed with a .22 caliber pistol he had recently purchased, Alba followed Wendy to an apartment where she was holed up with friends. He forced his way in and brutally attacked both Wendy and one of her friends, Gail Webb, leaving Wendy dead and Gail wounded. Alba's crimes didn't end there. He shot several others as he fled the scene, stole a teenage boy's car, and engaged in a standoff with police. His violent history and the brutality of the crime were on full display during his trial, where it was revealed that he had a long history of domestic abuse and violence toward Wendy. Before his execution in 2010, Alba expressed remorse, wishing he could undo his actions. As the deadly drugs began to take effect, he could taste them and uttered, "I'm starting to fade away just before I pass out." Witnesses included the parents of the girl he was accused of molesting. His final words were a mix of regret and love for his family, acknowledging the pain he had caused and expressing hope for their well-being. He said, "I wish I could go back and change it, but I know I can't." He then turned to his son and daughter, who were watching through a window, saying, "Tell everyone I love them. They'll be okay, I will be too." Quote. Finally, he turned to the warden and said, "Let's do this." He was pronounced dead at 6:19 p.m. John W. Rook. John William Brook was a 27-year-old man who was executed in 1986 after being convicted of the brutal rape and murder of 25-year-old nurse Anne Marie Rock in Raleigh, North Carolina. Rook abducted Rock during a drinking binge in 1980. He subjected her to a harrowing ordeal, beating her with a lug wrench, stabbing her, and running her over with a car, leaving her to die in an isolated field. Rock's body was found the next day, bearing evidence of the prolonged and agonizing nature of her death. Rook confessed to the crime three times and faced his execution with a mixture of defiance and resignation. His final words, "Freedom. Freedom at last, man. It was a good one." He was executed by lethal injection, wearing his favorite cowboy boots and a Harley-Davidson t-shirt. Despite appeals based on claims of discrimination in the application of the death penalty, Rook's execution went ahead after the Supreme Court refused to hear his appeal. Governor Jim Martin also refused to grant clemency. The execution was witnessed by about 100 death penalty opponents gathered outside the prison, some singing hymns. Inside, Rook's demeanor was described as peaceful as he succumbed to the lethal injection. Roger Keith Coleman was a coal miner from Grundy, Virginia, who was executed in 1992 for the rape and murder of his 19-year-old sister-in-law, Wanda Faye McCoy. In 1981, McCoy was found raped, stabbed, and nearly decapitated in her home. Coleman, with a history of sexual misconduct and a prior conviction for attempted rape, became a prime suspect due to his access to the home and lack of a clear alibi. Despite maintaining his innocence, Coleman was convicted and sentenced to death in 1982. His case garnered international attention, particularly from death penalty opponents who maintained his innocence. Appeals and petitions for a new trial were filed, but Coleman was ultimately executed amid a storm of protest and media attention. His final words, before he was put to death in the electric chair, were a proclamation of innocence. "An innocent man is going to be murdered tonight. When my innocence is proven, I hope that America will realize the injustice of the death penalty, as every other civilized nation has. My final words are to the woman I love. Love is eternal. My love for you will endure forever. I love you, Sharon." However, DNA testing conducted after the execution in 2006 conclusively confirmed her guilt when her DNA matched semen found at the crime scene. The case sparked a heated debate about the death penalty, with supporters and opponents using Coleman's story to bolster their arguments. Carla Faye Tacker. Carla Faye Tacker was executed in 1998 for the brutal murders of Jerry Lynn Dean and Deborah Thornton during a robbery in Houston, Texas, on June 13, 1983. Tacker, along with accomplice Daniel Ryan Garrett, entered Dean's apartment with the intention of stealing a motorcycle. During the robbery, Tacker and Garrett attacked Dean with a hammer and Tacker proceeded to repeatedly beat Thornton with a pickaxe, killing both victims. Tuaker's troubled upbringing was marked by drug abuse and early exposure to prostitution, which led her to a life of crime. However, while in prison awaiting trial, she underwent a profound religious conversion and became a devout Christian. Despite pleas for clemency from various quarters, including religious leaders and even one of the victim's relatives, Tuaker was executed. Her final words were, "Yes, sir. I would like to say to all of you, the Thornton family and the Jerry Dean family, that I am so sorry. I hope God gives you peace through this. Honey, I love you. Ron, give Peggy a hug for me." Quote, "She looked around at everyone present, both in tears and smiling. You have all been so good to me. I love you all so much. Now I am going to be face to face with Jesus." Alcade Baggett, "Thank you all so much. You have been so good to me. I love you very much. I will see you when you get here. I will wait for you." Tuaker's case garnered significant attention because of her gender, her religious conversion, and the debate surrounding capital punishment. Grover Cleveland Redding. Grover Cleveland Redding was a troubled man, convinced of his royal lineage as a prince of Abyssinia, present-day Ethiopia. His delusions led him to believe that he had a divine mission to lead his people back to their homeland. However, these fantasies collided with reality when he was convicted of inciting an anti-government revolt that resulted in the deaths of two of his followers. The crime sent shockwaves through the community, as Redding's followers put his fervent rhetoric into action with tragic consequences. Despite his mental instability, the court held him accountable for his actions and sentenced him to death. As the hour of his execution approached, many wondered what Redding would say in his final moments. His final words, "I have something to say, but not at this moment," left everyone in suspense. It was a cryptic statement that hinted at undisclosed information, or perhaps it was a final statement that he chose not to reveal at the time. We will never know. Willie Shannon. The Willie Shannon murder was the tragic outcome of a carjacking gone wrong. In 1992, Shannon, then 19, attempted to steal a station wagon from Benjamin Garza, who who was vacationing with his family in Houston. During the confrontation, Shannon's gun went off, fatally wounding Garza in the head. He then fled the scene, leaving behind a grieving family. At his execution, Shannon expressed remorse for his actions, acknowledging that he had made a mistake and that he had never intended to kill Garza. He addressed Garza's widow, children, and brother directly, acknowledging the pain he had caused by taking a father from them. Despite his smiling demeanor, Shannon clarified that his smile was not one of happiness, but rather a reflection of acceptance of his fate. Shannon was ultimately executed, becoming the 24th Texas inmate to be executed that year. John Wayne Gacy. John Wayne Gacy, also known as the Killer Clown, was a notorious American serial killer and rapist. He was convicted of brutally murdering 33 young boys and teenagers between 1972 and 1978 in Chicago, Illinois. Gacy's heinous crimes involved luring his victims to his home, where he would sexually assault them and then strangle them to death. He would bury their bodies on and around his property, including in his basement. Gacy gained notoriety for his alter ego, Pogo the Clown, which he used to entertain children at fundraisers and parades. Despite his cheerful clown appearance, Gacy harbored a dark and evil side that preyed on vulnerable young people. In March 1980, Gacy was convicted of 33 murders and sentenced to death. Was executed by lethal injection on May 10, 1994. Prior to his execution, Gacy observed extreme unction with a Catholic priest, as he had converted to the Catholic Church. There are conflicting reports about his last words. According to some sources, she defiantly said, "Kiss my ass," while others claim she didn't utter a last word, dismissing it as an urban legend. Gacy's case remains one of the most chilling examples of serial murder in American history. Amelia Darrier Elizabeth Darrier, infamous as the Reading Ogress, was an English serial killer who terrorized the Victorian era by murdering the babies in her care for over 30 years. Trained as a nurse, she engaged in the gruesome practice of baby farming, adopting unwanted children in exchange for money. At first, some of the children died from neglect, earning her a conviction for neglect and a short prison sentence. However, Durr escalated her crimes, resorting to outright murder by strangulation and disposing of the bodies to avoid detection. Durr's downfall came when a baby's body was discovered in the Thames River, which was blamed on her. Arrested in April 1896, she was accused, among other things, of the murder of Doris Marmon. In a sensational trial, Darrow was found guilty and sentenced to death. She spent her last weeks in a cell where she confessed to her crimes. On the morning of her execution, when asked if she had anything to say, Darrow replied, "I have nothing to say." Before she was hanged at Newgate Prison on June 10, 1896, the case of Amelia Darrier shocked Victorian society, leading to stricter adoption laws and increased child protection measures. She remains one of history's most notorious serial killers, with estimates suggesting that she may have murdered over 400 infants and children, making her among the most prolific murderers of all time. Lionel Herrera. Lionel Torres Herrera faced execution for the murders of two Texas law enforcement officers in 1981. Despite mounting evidence suggesting his innocence and implicating his brother Raul Herrera Sr., Lionel's appeals were unsuccessful. The crimes took place on a Texas highway, where Officer Enrique Carrizales and Private David Rocker were fatally shot within minutes of each other. Lionel was convicted of the murders, but his defense attorney presented compelling evidence that his brother Raul had confessed to the crimes. Raul's son corroborated this confession, stating that he had witnessed his father commit the murders. As the execution date approached, Lionel maintained his innocence until his final moments. In his final statement, he stated, "I am innocent, innocent, innocent. I am an innocent man and something very evil is happening tonight." Despite efforts to uncover the truth and calls for a stay of execution, Lionel was executed, raising questions about the justice system and the consequences of wrongful convictions. Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein, the former dictator of Iraq, faced execution in 2006 for his role in the brutal 1982 Ducal massacre. In this event, 148 Iraqi Shiites were killed in retaliation for an assassination attempt on his life. The Iraqi Special Tribunal found Saddam guilty of crimes against humanity and sentenced him to death by hanging. Prior to his execution, Saddam remained defiant, refusing to show any fear. He expressed readiness to die as a martyr and recited Islamic prayers. Despite the chaos around him, including jeers from onlookers and shouts of support for Shiite cleric Mu'tada al-Sadr, Saddam maintained his composure. There were conflicting reports during the execution itself about the exact time and circumstances. Some sources suggested that he may have broken his neck when he fell through the trapdoor, while others disputed this claim. In any case, his death marked the end of an era in Iraqi history. Saddam Hussein's last words before his execution were, "I am not a militant and I have no fear for myself. I have dedicated my life to jihad and fighting aggression. Whoever takes this path should have no fear." Despite facing imminent death, Saddam remained steadfast in his beliefs until the end. That was all from our side. Thanks for staying with us. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe for the latest videos. M.